everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Well, I have another great program for you today. Are you a parent of a college student or a young adult? Or are you yourself a young adult or college student? Well, today's program is all about how to deal with unexpected illnesses, injuries, and anxieties as a college student or young adult. My guest today is Dr. Jill Grimes. She is a nationally recognized medical media expert, family physician, award-winning author, and proud mom of two awesome collegiate daughters. After two decades of private practice, Dr. Grimes now splits her time between writing, speaking, vaccinating, and seeing patients. Her new book is called The Ultimate College Student Health Handbook, your guide to everything from hangovers to homesickness. For more information about Dr. Jill Grimes or her new book, please go to jillgrimesmd.com. Welcome to the program, Dr. Grimes. Great to have you with us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Terry. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk with you. Now, I know that we've talked several years ago about your other book or your last book, discussing how to talk about sex and STDs with your kids. So this is so connected, and I'm really looking forward to talking with you.
Great. Like I said, it's a natural progression, and I'm glad to reconnect with you.
Absolutely. So let's start, Dr. Grimes. Tell us briefly a little bit more about you and what motivated you to write your new award-winning book, The Ultimate College Student Health Handbook.
So this book is truly, truly my passion project. It evolved, though, from basically a craft project. I am one of those crafty people. I love to laminate things. There's signs all over my house. You know, we make everything into a craft project. I was a Girl Scout leader for a decade. This is, you know, my wheelhouse. And about a dozen years ago, my next door neighbor, her daughter was going off to college, and she said, "Hey, Dr. Jill, can you please help me put together a college first aid kit?" And so I did. And after we gathered up all the supplies in it and crafted it and put cute little stickers and ribbons on it, then my neighbor said, "Well, can you just like stick a little index card in there to tell her, you know, when to use which cream and when to take Tylenol or Advil?" And I did. And fast forward years later, this became my favorite high school graduation gift, is to do a personalized first aid kit for our family friends. And then our girls subsequently grew up, and then they went to high school and off to college, and for all of their friends. And the thing is, that single index card became about a 22-page laminated booklet.
That is that point, great.
Well, you know, people kept asking me stuff. And as I gave these gifts, since I was giving these to family friends, I always included my cell phone number. And let me tell you, I got texts in the middle of the night, which they all, you know, I'm a light sleeper, and texts, you know, I either answer them right away if I'm awake or I don't. But at any rate, I started really hearing what these kids wanted to know. And then meanwhile, I actually stopped my private practice after 20 years, and I was working on a large university campus in the urgent care center. And so, or in the urgent care department of a large university health center. And so literally all day long, I was hearing what college students, you know, what they were coming and complaining of, what injuries they had, what anxieties they had. And so I started realizing more include in that little kit and more tips and tricks. And eventually I realized, no, I need to make this a whole book before my girls go off to college, because I wanted them to have that. So that's why I wrote this book.
I love that story, Dr. Grimes. And I love the fact that it started out as a craft project and moved into a published book. And of course, I have to ask as well, can you share with us your connection to the illustrator of this book?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. This proud mom will be happily tell you the connection. So clearly, the illustrator is Nicole Grimes, and she is our younger daughter. And now, the truth is, I wanted this book to be done before she went to college. And had I done that, she would not be the illustrator. However, she went to Loyola Marymount University, and she majored in animation. Her dream is to be an animator for Disney. And she is currently in the Disney College program, in fact, after just graduating. But while she was in college, she actually worked as an illustrator for the publisher that's associated with Loyola Marymount, called Tesai Publishing. And so she had experience as actually a professional illustrator. Meanwhile, she's always done illustrations for me for any talks that I give. That's how I get around copyright images. I just have her draw whatever I want her to draw.
I love that. Really, by the way, did she do the illustrations on the cover of the book?
Yes, she did. She did not design the cover, but all of the illustrations on the cover are her illustrations. Yes, thank you.
Wow, and I love the cover of the book, by the way, as well. And listeners, I really enjoyed reading the book. So, Dr. Grimes, tell us, who do you want to read this book?
So, this book is very specifically for young adults and their parents. Because the parents get the worried text from their kids. And, parents, we want to have good advice to give our kids, right? Or to encourage them to help themselves. And so many of my friends, and actually feedback I've gotten from parents I don't know at all, they've said, oh, yeah, either A, I stuck a $20 bill in the chapter about tattoos, or... to call their attention to that. Or when they call home, I pull out my copy and I say, hey, why don't you go to page, 65 and go check that out. See, what do you think you should do next? But it goes beyond college students and young adults and their parents. These same tips are good for advice for anyone. But my actual target audience is definitely high school students, college students, and their parents.
I like that. And that was one of my questions, which you just answered. Can the book be helpful for all young adults not living at home, or even me, who doesn't know the difference between appendicitis and a stomachache, and when should I go to the doctor or urgent care? So these tips, these strategies would be important for all people, correct?
Absolutely. But, the rule number one in publishing is never say your book is for everyone. So
exactly.
I feel like my hands are tied on that. But yes, in fact, I had a review posted this morning, and the reviewer specifically said that it was a woman, and she said she did not have college students, but she's like, I'm keeping a copy of this for me and my family because I need all this advice, and I didn't know when to take Tylenol versus Advil.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I like that reviewer. Definitely. Now, in the book, you discuss, as I said, evidence-based medical information to reduce anxiety and stress and set appropriate expectations for more than 50 common issues. So let's start talking about some of those issues, Dr. Grimes, because they're so helpful and so important. Let's start with college student hangovers and alcohol toxicity, which I really enjoyed reading. Tell us what's going on there, the common treatments, and when should students or even young adults head to a doctor?
All right. So, hangovers and alcohol toxicity are related but different. The hangover is all those nasty symptoms the next morning or the next day, where you've got the headache and muscle aches and brain fog and possibly nausea, vomiting. That's the hangover portion. And at that point, the major treatment is, in fact, hydration. And of course, the major prevention is to not drink too much. Duh, everybody knows that. That's barely helpful to even say, but it is true. And I do want to point out, as a side note, that only 30% of college students on average really binge drink and overindulge. About 30% use alcohol responsibly, and about 30% don't drink at all during college. So it is not everybody. And I think it's important for young people to know that, because if you ask the average college student how many of their peers drink, a lot of them would tell you, oh, 100%, absolutely everybody does this, it's a thing.
I like that. I just have to interrupt, because that is so important that that's only 30%. Because as a college university professor, my students react exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. How many of your friends are drinking alcohol and binge drinking? 100%. And they feel pressure and stress to conform to those perceived but incorrect norms.
Exactly. And it actually is very empowering for them when they find out that not everybody is doing it. The challenge I find, and I'm sure you see as well with your students, is that there are subsets, you know, groups in college where it literally is 100% of their friend group. And at that point, we want to talk about, okay, well, might want to expand your friend group.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good advice. Because if it's only 30% of all young adults, right, then if it's 100% of your friends in a particular group,
right,
then you
that
can
your
change your
norm.
Friends. Exactly.
Right. And the other thing is, and this is not a slam on Greek life, but let's be honest, fraternities are worse than sororities, but the Greek life in general, there's a much higher incidence of drinking across the board. And it doesn't mean that you can't be in a frat or a sorority. In fact, you can dry pledge in I think almost all campuses now, where you don't drink at all. But the point is, you can have friends outside of that group. And so that, you know, you may drink in moderation with one friend group and not drink at all with another.
Very helpful advice. So when should students or young adults head to a doctor if they have been drinking alcohol or they have that hangover the next day?
Right. So certainly any signs of true alcohol toxicity. So if someone is unconscious, obviously they can't take themselves to the doctor, but if you're with somebody and they become unconscious, they need to be evaluated there. If you cannot stop throwing up, if you're to the point where you're dry heaving and you just cannot control that nausea, you need to be seen. The next morning, if you're having a splitting headache, Tylenol or Advil, and you may be too nauseous to keep any type of over-the-counter pain relievers down, if that's the case, you need to head in. And what can we do whether it's an urgent care center, your family physician, or an on-campus health center? Most places do have the capability of doing IV hydration, where you literally get intravenous fluids and rehydrate that way. We certainly can give you anti-nausea medication that literally dissolves under your tongue. And honestly, a lot of people, that's all they need, so that once we stop the nausea, that we can then have them sip on basically like a Gatorade, Powerade equivalent, Pedialyte, some sort of electrolyte replenishing liquid. And that is enough. So if you're terrified of needles, you're not obligated to have an IV if you head to the doctor.
Thank you for all that important information, Dr. Grimes. Now, another issue that I hear a lot about from college students and young adults is about migraine headaches or headaches in general. Help us or share some of your advice on headaches or migraines.
Sure. So people a lot of times use migraine to mean just a really bad headache. And the reality is that when a medical person says migraine, we're really referring to a very specific type of headache that is vascular in nature. So the classic migraine is on one side of your head. The pain tends to pulsate. It's more throbbing. You may have some nausea. You may have sensitivity to light, where light hurts your eyes and you just want to be, you know, in a quiet, dark, closed room. You may be light sensitive or noise sensitive. And moving around makes you worse. So someone with a migraine is not walking around pacing saying, oh, this is such a bad headache. They are curled up in a ball in a dark room. The opposite end is a tension headache, which we certainly also see a lot of in college students. That tends to be more constant, tends to be both sides, can be in your temples or at the base of your neck, and is constant and is rarely associated with all that light sensitivity and noise sensitivity and nausea. Now, of course, it's medicine, and our heads don't always read the textbooks, right?
Right.
So we'd like to have a little mix of both, and it's really a spectrum. So you can have something with features of both, and then it's up to your clinician to help you figure out, you know, is this more like a migraine? If you have family history of migraines, by the way, very likely that if you're having something, again, with more of that throbbing, one-sided nausea, et cetera, that you are indeed having a migraine. The good news is that even for real migraines, over-the-counter medicines do the trick a large percentage of the time. And a little trick is that you can actually combine Tylenol, which is acetaminophen. And for the record, generics are fine on anything that I say name brands of. I just tend to refer to Tylenol and Advil rather than acetaminophen and ibuprofen, so that more people, you know, can remember what we're saying, especially on the radio.
Right.
But you can actually, assuming you have no contraindications to taking either medication, you can actually combine them and it works stronger than either one by itself. And many people say, oh, no, that's dangerous. You can't do that. But actually, we've had studies proving this for 20 years, and it is evidence-based medicine that you can combine them. Now, I'm not talking taking four ibuprofen along with, you know, two extra strength Tylenol, but you can do two of each. And in fact, there's a new product put out by the Advil brand that's called something like dual pain relief or something that actually has both in there. But anyway, I digress. The point is you can use over-the-counter medications and combine that with caffeine, especially if you don't drink caffeine on a regular basis. And the combination of caffeine plus those pain relievers a lot of times will really nip that migraine in the bud.
That is so useful and very helpful. Thank you, Dr. Grimes. Now, I know I'm interested or was interested in your view and information and advice on hangovers and alcohol toxicity as well as headaches. But since you've been in the health center at a university, why don't you share with us what are some other issues that you think students are really worried about these days?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that people come in with is insomnia. Mm. And there are so many causes for this. Of course, just straight up anxiety will give you insomnia. And a lot of people don't come in saying, hey, I'm really anxious, I'm homesick, I'm nervous about being here, I haven't made friends. They come in saying, I can't sleep. And so we have to always dig a little deeper and see if it's the physical situational stuff, like, do you have a roommate that snores? Are you too hot because you're in a dorm with no air conditioning? You know, look at all these different factors to try and really help them with insomnia. So the first thing we do is we talk about, well, what time, you know, what's your physical condition? So we talk about the temperature of the room. Ideally, you want it to be cool. So if you don't have a fan in your room, a fan is great because it provides white noise as well as keeping you cool. And again, I'm talking about the beginning of the fall. Of course, when you switch to November, December and the cooler climates, then they want to be a little bit warmer. They might be too cold in their room. But at any rate, so, you know, a fan, most of the time you can't have blackout blinds, but you easily can have your personal eye mask. So and I tell them, don't go cheap. Don't go get the $1, $2, you know, throwaway little mask. Splurge on, you know, the $10, $15 one and get one that's really comfortable. And it is amazing how much that helps. In fact, that helps also if you have headaches and migraines to go ahead and wear that same blackout, you know, little eye shade that's comfortable. So you make it dark with that. You make it cool with the fan. Sometimes rooms are just really smelly. And sometimes you have a roommate that has different hygiene habits than you do and may just smell differently. And so if that's part of the problem, make sure that you take into your drawer. In fact, I always tell people to pack this for move-in day, but get one of those gel or solid air deodorizers, because you know you can't have candles in most apartments and dorms. That's a no-no. But you can have the solid ones, and don't get the froofies, you know, like lavender smell. Just get the ones that are just like linen or just that say air deodorizer, because you want it to just, you know, sort of eliminate it, not create another smell that then turn might bother your roommate. So we've done noise. The fan provides some white noise. You can also get headbands that have soft earbuds in them. Well, I guess they're not earbuds, but earphones in them. But you can sleep on them. It doesn't bother you, you know, when you lay down on the pillow, if you're on top of your ear. But having that where you can listen to maybe a meditation as you're falling asleep, or soft music, whatever works for you, that takes care of hearing. We've got blackout for your eyes. We've got smell that's better. We want to make sure that you're going to bed at the same time as much as you can, which is really challenging for college students. Mm-hmm. But ideally, we try and get people to go to bed roughly the same time, and no matter what, get up within an hour of the same time every day. So if you've got, I know, if you've got that 8 o'clock class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but Tuesday, Thursday, you don't have anything till one, if you are changing your, you know, sleep wake cycles by sleeping in late till 11, 2 days a week or 4 days a week, you're never going to get into a good pattern.
So. And this is so important, Dr. Grimes, because for all listeners, this mm-hmm. is important information for if you have insomnia or you can't sleep, to really look at your physical condition and your routine of when you're waking up and when you're going to bed. Very helpful. Now, we only have a few minutes left. Is there anything else about insomnia or can't sleep, other than the physical condition, that you want to mention?
Yes. And that's the little thing that most people may be holding in their hand right now, that phone. So social media, we all know, we've all gone down the rabbit hole of social media, right? And the whole fear of missing out thing is really magnified for college students, especially freshmen, when they go off. And a lot will, you know, the last thing before they go to sleep is they're scrolling through Snapchat stories or Instagram or whatever. And they're seeing all their old friends from high school everywhere else having so much fun. Now, of course, people are looking at their Instagram and thinking they're having so much fun, because we don't post things of like sitting around being bored or not having made friends yet, right? So what we really want to encourage people to do, and this is, goes for all of us, is to not be on your phone at the end of the day, unless it's purely listening to a meditation app, but not looking at your phone and getting your brain going. We want to turn that off. And once something I literally suggest people do is schedule time during the day, you know, maybe it's 10 minutes after each meal, but you know, that's when you go on social media and you look at it, have a scheduled time to do it, but that scheduled time should not be right before you go to sleep.
Excellent. So listeners, don't be on your phone right before you go to bed, unless it's listening to music or a meditation.
Or Dr. Terry.
Or Dr. Terry, right? Good. Thanks, Dr. Grimes. Now, in your book, you did a wonderful job of organizing the many common issues. I want to just tell listeners that you discuss what's going on, the treatments, tips, and when a student or young adult should head to a doctor. And I really loved all of that, as well as you take us through the body, from the brain, the ears, to the skin, the stomach, and so forth. Now, we only have 2 minutes left. If there's one message or takeaway that you want people to understand from today's program, what might that be, Dr. Grimes?
I think the best advice I can give, and this goes across the board for physical symptoms and emotional symptoms and injuries, don't wait till you're at crisis level to seek help, because There's so many little interventions we can do. Whether you're having heartburn on a regular basis, we want to intervene before you end up with an ulcer. You know, if you are having some insomnia, but you're not having crippling anxiety or test anxiety, you know, let us intervene early, not waiting until you're to the point where you've messed up a quiz or a test or flunked a class. And again, this goes way beyond college students. This is for all of us. So don't wait for a crisis to come in. And please recognize that emotional symptoms, anxiety, insomnia, those are real things. And it's not just an in your head, sweetie kind of thing. And your family physicians are happy to see you and treat these things in addition to other specialties. But as a family medicine doctor, throwing that out there.
Yes, you can throw that out there. Shout out to family doctors. Absolutely. Woo-hoo. Great message. Reach out early. Don't wait. And mental health is just as important as physical health. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Grimes. Great to talk with you. And what a wonderful reference guide for college students, young adults, and their parents.
Thank you so much for having me.
And again, listeners, if you're interested in Dr. Jill Grimes or her new book called The Ultimate College Student Health Handbook, please go to jillgrimesmd.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.